Welcome to Marvel Champions podcast about Marvel Champions, the card game. I am your host, Scott, and with me as always, my co-host, Ryan.
Hello, Scott. How was your weekend?
It was amazing, Ryan. Age of Apocalypse released.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And we came at you last week with the prep episode, getting ready for Age of Apocalypse. And did it disappoint, Ryan?
Oh, it did something.
So we planned this whole day to go play at the game store. We walk in and we go over to the section with Marvel Champions. Guess what we saw?
I don't know, because I didn't look. All I saw you as I was walking in, and you gave me the thumbs down.
I saw the Next Evolution campaign box.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we got the sore news that it was delayed.
Apparently, this has happened. It's happening to several people around the U.S., Canada, so on and so forth.
Yeah, so we're not the only one. So we feel your pain, and we appreciate you feeling our pain. So, we had the day planned, and we didn't want to, waste it. So, we did play a couple games, and it was pretty fun.
Right, since we had the time, we might as well do a campaign, right?
Right, so which campaign did we do, Ryan?
I think one of the more favorites of the community.
Yeah, this one was different than your normal campaign, but I almost feel like it's a little diamond in the rough.
I guess you could say that, but it is a Mojo.
Mojo Mania.
Mojo Jojo. That's Powderpuff Girls, never mind.
Different Mojo.
Different Mojo.
So what was different about this campaign, Ryan?
Well, we figured since we've played it before and we consider ourselves somewhat experienced in the game, we just was like, hey, you know what? Let's just do it on expert. So we did.
Yeah. And did not disappoint. It was a new challenge.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think overall it showed some difficult moments throughout the campaign, but it wasn't too difficult. It wasn't too easy. It was a really good middle of the road, solid experience through that campaign at expert.
Yeah, it was a good balance. And I think the heroes we took through showed their strengths and weaknesses at different times. And the cool thing I liked about it was that the villains played a little different than what we'd had played them before.
Yeah. I think when we were playing, I told you that I don't think there's any group of three villains that are back to back to back that are as good as these in any of the campaigns. I mean, there's some good ones, but these three, all three together, their difficulty level, the different mechanisms they use in the game, how they're different, I don't want to say perfect, but they're pretty darn close to being the best.
Yeah, it gives you a good variety of what the villain's trying to do. You have some villains that are just there to beat you up. You have some that are trying to thwart away, scheme away, technically. Trying to scheme away, and then you got some that are just trying to just escape and wear you down. And these three kind of each of them do one of those things really well.
Yeah. I really like the difference for Magog. When he deals damage, instead of one counter, he did two on his, what is that one? Is it the champion card, Pump Up the Crown?
Yeah, he's the champion. You're the contender.
Yeah. That definitely made it more difficult having that two every time. And I noticed in that game we were very neck and neck. Like he went up kind of quick. He had six tokens on him before we even had one. And then we kind of shot up. And then we were kind of neck and neck. He actually beat us on the flip.
Yeah. That was fun. That was different. Most of the time, you're able to kind of keep it down. His one's difficult because it's when you damage a character. Some of the other ones that have revolve around like dealing damage and adding a token are you as the hero. So if you can prevent that in some way or kind of finagle your way around it, you can kind of slow play it a little bit or game it. But this one, man, he was just boom, coming straight at us.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, I guess maybe we weren't expecting how it was going to go. And so he really hit us pretty hard, pretty quick, and we were able to recover, cause we won. But it was a good experience of it. Cause it is a punch fest, but because of how the challengers and the, champion aspect works, it made it a little bit more unique, and we had it like, okay, I think at one point I had Lay the Trap side scheme, and so I was like, let's finish him off, flip him, or not flip him, but reset him, then we can thwart that and do an immediate 10 and get back on him real quick.
So that was a nice little combo you did there.
Yeah, it ended up the what's the minion? Is it the contender?
Oh, the contender, yeah, or the champion, or whatever his little dude is that comes out wearing the helmet.
We ended up using it for him, and it was worth it. So,
yeah, because he ended up flipping. No, we ended up flipping the contender to the cheering side, which causes him to come out.
And he came out.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah. So that was good. So I really enjoyed. He's been one that we have come back to several times to just do like a quick fun game with heroes or decks that we're trying, just because it kind of puts a little time limit on you, and he's pretty straightforward. He's not a super complicated villain.
Yeah, no, he can like ramp a little bit with his attachments, but you have the nice thing of getting rid of those by trying to just straight up defeat him. And he'll reset. He'll throw those off. Those will give you some tokens.
Yeah. I think what really makes his design really good and stand out is, for example, those attachments, they're bad when they're attached to him. But when you can defeat him, they're good for you because they help put counters on. And I really like that dynamic of, hey, these are bad and they're going to hurt you. But if you can get past it, you're going to get a benefit. I really like that aspect.
Yeah. And I think you kind of touched on it earlier, but I really felt like it was a real back and forth battle. And it kind of felt like it was coming down to the wire on whether we were going to win or have a couple really bad villain turns.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let him win.
It was very good. And I think that it was a good tone setter for the next one for Spiral.
Yeah, Spiral came in. I think Spiral played a little better. We got a couple of the environments that I think ultimately ended up helping us more than they really hindered us.
Yes.
I don't know which sets they're in, but one of them gave us an additional card for our hand size.
The Game and of then, Mojo.
Yeah, the other one gave us plus one thwart for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to take advantage of that because it's very thwarty to get her to find her. Once you find her, then you're trying to, you know, keep her out. And we were able to keep her out on her found side or whatever the cornered side for a long time that first stage.
Yeah, which in the past when we've played it, it's pretty quick. She turns back into hiding, but... Yeah, I can't remember what it was, but somehow we just kept her up and we just welled on her.
Well, the big thing is getting her to like not activate, and we were able to stun, confuse, lock her, which was really beneficial.
Yeah, we did have, I think it was her that we had, or maybe that was Mojo. I can't remember, but one of them we had like a stun or a confuse on them almost like every round.
It was pretty much both of them.
Oh, yeah.
We had a pretty good system going.
Yeah, I will say, you know, kind of jumping the gun, that is a weak point in these hero or villains, is there is a little bit of status card lock that you can do on them. But it's almost like part of the scenario too. You kind of need that, or it makes it that much harder. Sure. Because of their mechanisms.
Yeah. Spiral was good. I think the biggest thing for me with her was she got one of her swords cards out.
Oh, man.
And, like, we've had it in the past, but I don't think it really was that bad for some reason. Or we were able to sunfire it off of her pretty quick. But it's an expensive card to get rid of.
Oh, man, it is tough.
And you got to have the right resources. It costs a total of 6 to get rid of all of her swords. And I could not imagine having to fight her with both her swords if she's continually like flipping down and flipping back. Because each of those, she'll win or reveal to activate against you. And if she has anywhere from 4 to 6, let's say you know, got a few of the swords off, 4 to 6 plus her base stat, those are some big attacks coming at you.
Oh, man, I think she hit me once, and I took a beating. I almost died.
And I want to say when she reveals, she even attacks you in Alter Ego.
Yes, she does.
So it can be really bad.
Oh, man, it was, I can't remember, we almost had that, and thankfully I had a card that helped get around that, but it was rough for like a moment there. With her, when she had the swords, that really made it tough. But outside of that, overall, we were able to thwart what we needed to. We were able to hit her consistently. And we only had to reveal her twice, I think.
Yeah, she flipped out down, and then we had to flip her right back up one more time. So we were able to keep her out and just deal damage.
Yeah, yeah. She didn't last very long at that point. Because at that point, we were set up, so we had everything we needed to just hit her with everything.
Yeah, she's one of those where, like, you can get kind of lulled into a false sense of security with a setup, a long setup game. She'll just keep adding threat onto the main scheme if you're not paying attention, and you won't be able to get rid of it until you find her and corner her.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, now I've got to deal with all the threat and figure out how I can deal damage while she's cornered and I can deal damage. You really have to kind of balance those two.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Ooh, it was a challenge, but I would say it felt a little easier than Magog, at least in that experience.
Right. And out of our playthrough in this campaign, I feel like it was probably the easiest out of the three. Not to say that it wasn't hard, but out of the three, it seemed like it was the easiest match we did.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I do think the hardest was the mojo.
Mojo.
I thought we had a handle on it at the beginning, and then it just jumped on us quick.
Crazy, man. Because I was playing a hero that changed forms, and his wording makes it sound like anytime you change form, you're always dumping that threat you're gaining on. So yep. I had to be very cautious of my flipping. So, and it just felt like I kept getting like anywhere from like 7 to 12 threats sitting on my character. And then it would just dump. Ugh.
Oh, yeah. I think the reason why we felt like we had it, because at the beginning, I got like all my thwart cards. And so I was able to like thwart everything super quick. But after that, it just kind of, you could start seeing it tick up and like, oh shoot, I can't thwart that much. and it went up quick. I can't remember what it was, but it just like, it went up like 5, 10, 15, 20. Like we were at, I think for us, it's a 40 cap.
I think it's 50. I think it's 25 per player. Yeah.
And at one point, were we in the 40s?
Yeah.
I know we were in the 30s for sure.
Like high 30s, low 40s. And I was like, ooh.
And we're like, and the thing is, like, you might be like, okay, you know, if he schemes, you might be able to do it. But anything can just toss thwart on that. So, like, getting 10 to, or 5 to 10 thwart in an instant is easy for Mojo. So you got to have like a bigger buffer than you're normally used to.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. It, like a drop of a hat. It'd be like the person with the friendly character with the highest, you know, threat just sitting there, dump it into his main scheme. And it's like, oh, geez.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would have to like block with an ally because you're about to die. And then he would drop like four or five. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
But it was good. We had to figure out, like, all right, I'm just going to go full attack mode. And you just try and keep the threat manageable.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened is you just focused on attack. And I focused on thwart with occasional of us doing either.
You confused a bunch.
Yeah, we had a good setup because of the campaign aspects. We were able to have him confused, and we decided after like the first turn of like, we have to confuse him and one of us has to be down because we can't have these cards being discarded, these encounter cards, or we're going to be putting in these other sets and it's just going to mill the deck too fast. And so that's what we did.
Yeah, because that's the thing is when you're ending your turn in hero form, you got to mill, I think, top four when he's stage two and top five.
Yes.
And anything that's not Mojo counts and you add threat onto yourself. Plus, he's milling all those cards. And they do not. This, the one thing about this campaign is the encounter decks are not that big.
No, yeah. It was moving quick.
Yeah, so. Yeah, we decided we worked that strategy out pretty quick.
Yeah. And I would say we got lucky. After it, the encounter set decked out, the counter deck decked out the first time, the way it reads on the spinner is that you put the new modular set later on and you put that new environment in, it replaces it, and then you put that new encounter set, all of them shuffled on top. So all you're getting is this new encounter set, and they all that the entire set is synergizing with itself. So it just blasts you with, I think on our case, we got sitcom, which had a bunch of obligations. Oh man, yeah. I got three because I can't remember if I like decked out or something. I got bonused.
Yeah, you decked out my obligation.
Yes. And so I had three obligations just in an instant. And I was like, well, this sucks. Thankfully, I was an alter ego and I was able to get rid of two of them quick. But man, it like escalated. And honestly, we lucked out because the other modular set that thankfully we did not have to put in was the sci-fi. And I hate the sci-fi encounter set for Mojo.
I think that's probably one of the hardest ones. I know there's like a lot of big baddies in some of the other ones, but I think just like across the board, that sci-fi one, man, they're difficult.
Oh man.
They're hard to deal with.
The Brotherhood encounter set is pretty tough. Like they're not an easy minion encounter set. And then you just make them sci-fi and they're like a little tougher. It's pretty rough. But so thankfully we didn't have to deal with that.
Mojo was good. Like, I remember playing him a couple times. We played him straight through with Storm and Wolverine, and it was fun. But I felt like he was kind of easy when we played him.
Yeah.
And I think we played him one time as a four-player, like, little skirmish match, teaching a couple of our game group guys. Yep. But this one, I don't know, he hit different. It was like a good different.
Yeah. I have a little more respect for the Mojo. Definitely went up. It was more fun than I remembered it.
Yep. You renewed your Mojo Max subscription?
Yeah, I did. I did. I went ahead and did the plunge into it. I went to Mojo Prime.
Ooh, Mojo Prime. You Mojo upped Prime. The tier, didn't you? Well, if you want a free month of Mojo Prime, you use our code at checkout.
Marvel Champions.
That's funny.
Yeah. No, it was a it was a really good campaign. I really enjoyed it. The bonuses that they do are very small, but they still can be pretty impactful. It was very solid.
The one thing I liked about those is like it gives you something, but then if you were able to like do good on the previous one, you can get something slightly better.
Yes.
And we were like both of those. We didn't get the higher benefit with Magog, but then we were able to get the higher benefit with Spiral.
Yeah, because I think the higher benefit with Magog wasn't that if you did worse?
It's you had to keep him from flipping his one and he
That's right,
it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's tough.
You had to keep it on the booing side and he was on the cheering side.
Boo.
Boo, you stink. Yeah.
Oh, brother.
Yeah. So, Ryan, why don't you reveal... Oh, sorry. Do you have another thought about Mojo or the campaign?
Nah, I'm good.
I was just going to say, why don't you reveal who you played as through the campaign?
I decided to go with everyone's favorite S++ tier Psylocke.
Oh, Psylocke. And I went with everybody's favorite mullet magician master. Mullet master?
Mullet magician? What in the world?
Angel. Archangel, technically.
There you go. You did angel. I don't know if he's a magician, but he pulled a wing out of a hat or something.
See, he used to be able to throw, like, his, like, blade feather dart things
in archangel mode, right?
Yeah, I mean, in angel mode, he just buys trench coats and flies around.
Hey, that's everyone's dream. Yeah, no, I mean, I would say we did put in some maybe stronger heroes, especially Angel. I think Psylocke is strong. I know some people might not see her as such, but I thought I did pretty well with her.
I thought you played pretty well with her as well. I mean, it did help having another strong hero there with you to help out, but yeah. I think overall you did pretty well.
Yeah, I ran Justice, and it had been a while since I've played Psylocke, and I didn't have a deck ready, so I kind of put one together that was based off what I was going to do for Bishop if we, would have gotten Age of Apocalypse. And so the first game, it wasn't syncing quite right. So I made a few changes, which I don't know if that's against the rules, but whatever. It's our game, so whatever. And so I made a few, just some minor changes, and it definitely worked a lot better. The key card that I think worked with her that really made a difference was making an entrance and combining that with... her training regiment. I think that's what that one is.
Yeah, it's because it's a skill. You can go grab it.
Yeah, and I would do it in hero form. Even though I have to discard doing training regiment, when I pull one out, I could it'd be fine because I'd get the plus on thwart, and I knew I can finish off a scheme of some sort and get that healing, which I was missing in that first game. I had some struggle keeping my health up.
And, yeah, you took some punches to the face in that first match.
Yeah, it really helped. But the one thing I noticed about her is I did not utilize her upgrade skills that come with her kit very well. I don't. It could have been just how I was playing her, but it just never felt like I could get them out and utilize them to their fullest potential. It was more beneficial doing other things. And so I missed that aspect of her, but her ability to switch between her Psy Knife and Psy Katana, getting those resources, I was able to get like Avengers Mansion out pretty easily and give me extra card. And things just worked out pretty well. And of course, it's Justice. It's the best one, right? And so I was able to afford and be a good help on that.
Yeah. And when I played Angel, because you were like really, you had a handle on all the threat, I was able to focus more on like an Archangel build. And my two like all-stars in like most of our matches was Cannonball. He is insane in the Angel deck.
It was so helpful.
There's like a free 2/2 anytime you need it, because 9 times out of 10, I had at least 2 aerial cards.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ever Vigilant.
Such a good card.
Nice to ready. And then take a couple of scheme off. If I was in Archangel, it'd be an additional 2. I could pay for it with his wings. I could pay for it with Power of Flight, with a standard double resource. So super easy to pay for. And yeah, It was nice.
Yeah, watching you on several turns be able to just throw out everything. You did like some thwarting, but mostly you just did mass amounts of damage in packets. Like, you're like, I'll kill your minion here, I will kill the villain here, I will do an additional one here, and so on and so forth. And oh, by the way, I'm stunning him. I was like, geez.
I did have like 2 pretty amazing turns that I was really proud of.
Oh yeah.
His Adaptive Plumage, that card was actually really beneficial.
Yeah.
In a
yeah.
couple of our
and of
games.
Of course, Metamorphosis is always a huge win.
Yeah. That one was like, oh, I need to end in Archangel, but I want to benefit from Angel for this thing. And I'm like, oh, wait, perfect. I got it. And it just bing, bang, boom. Perfect. Perfect everything.
Yeah. Yeah, there was, I remember, it happened, I think, twice, but there was one turn. And I think it was like the first turn of either Spiral or Mojo, where it was like, I've got nothing. Like, I can't do anything. And I think it was Mojo, and I had a, what's the grab a side scheme, draw 3 cards?
One way or another.
One way or another.
That's your card, right? Come on.
Yes. Yes. I mean, come on. And I was like, you know what? And I was afraid to play it because I didn't have any thwart cards. And I was just like, this isn't going to work out. And I was like, you know what? Forget this. Let's just do it. And I did it. And I pulled out. We had the fantasy encounter set. Mm. And I pulled out the fetch quest side scheme, which is, you know, high threat, but it helps us a lot. There's a reward, so it's almost like a player side scheme. And then I like drew into all my thwart, and then I just like went to town on a turn day, basically a zero hand into a winning hand. It was pretty great.
Yeah, and you did that one like twice, and that one's like the perfect one to go fetch because there's no negative to it.
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of let it sit there, like you said, a player side scheme.
Yeah. And I mean, that happened to me at least twice, but I know it also happened to you. Like, there was a time you're like, I don't know if I have much. And then you were able to like draw something. I can't remember if I like gave you my Avengers Mansion on turn, but all of a sudden you were like, okay, now I can do something. And then you're like, boom, 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 boom.
Well, I was able to do, I think it was against Spiral. I was able to stun her, and then I played Taunt.
Oh, yeah. Taunt was very helpful.
Yeah, it was nice seeing both those cards kind of work to their fullest potential. And then I was able to just go to town. I think I got like a Razor Dive, and yeah, it was awesome.
Oh yeah, no, it was good. I granted, again, these are probably 2 stronger heroes that we took on the campaign, so you know, take that for what it is. But I thought it was still a challenge. I think we still had to make some important decisions with our heroes that almost like make or break. I know like on the last turn of Mojo, it was like either we try to thwart and survive one more turn or we die. And I think we held it off just a little bit longer. The next turn, we just went all out on attack and was able to get him barely, yeah. But got him.
His came down to like within 1 or 2 turns, we weren't going to be able to last.
Yeah, it was great. It was not the experience that we were looking for, but it was a great experience.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So anybody listening out there that does not have the Mojo Mania mini campaign, you should definitely think about picking it up. It's a lot of fun. 3 really good villains and a nice little mini campaign packed right in there.
Yeah, I think if you're looking, if you don't want to pay for a full campaign box, Mojo is definitely one to snag, because those are three very solid villains.
Yeah, and really the six encounters that come with it, you can really throw those into any other scenario to kind of spice it up a little bit.
Yeah, and those are fun encounter sets, except for sci-fi. Burn sci-fi. But the other ones are all good.
All right, that's Ryan's thought of the day, burn sci-fi.
That's right. If you take one thing from this podcast, that's it.
No, please don't burn the cards. Put the cards down, okay? Step back from the cards.
Okay, Pyro.
All right, well, hopefully in the coming weeks, we'll be able to get our hands on Age of Apocalypse. We'll be able to talk about that campaign. But until then, this will have to do.
Yes, it will have to do. And so just expect that there will be a slight delay in our Age of Apocalypse content, sadly. But we will try to get it out as quickly as possible.
Yep. And we would like to hear about your experiences with the Age of Mojo. I mean, Mojo Mania campaign. And you can reach out to us at MarvelChampionsPod@gmail.com. Tell us about, I guess, your favorite villain out of those three. We would love to hear your thoughts about those and maybe that mini campaign overall, or what other little villain trio would you like to see as a mini campaign in a future wave? Let us know. And as always, if you want to go from a chump to a champ, listen to the Marvel Champions podcast. Thanks.
See you later.